It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
All right, everybody, welcome to another heartbreaking, maybe, edition of the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. I am John Duke here in the big chair, I guess. I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Bobby Manning here on the show. We're so excited. We're looking forward to taking your phone calls tonight to talk about this very interesting game that the Celtics had with the team that we're probably most talking about as we're entering this season, the Golden State Warriors. And of course, that'd be Kevin Durant. Bobby, I don't know if we're quite ready to put a pin in this one. There's a long season ahead of us, but I'm wondering your thoughts just right off the bat. A lot of talk today, a lot of discussion certainly about how we're going to get into this, how we're going to be able to move on from this summer. And I'm just wondering, do you think that this game did anything to put any of that in the past?
Well, there's a fire burning at the Garden, apparently, and it was not Kevin Durant. There was fire alarms going off inside the building, and luckily none of the reporters evacuated, because I'm waiting to hear what happened to Marcus Smart tonight. That's going to be my biggest takeaway from this one, is just hoping and praying that he's going to be ready to go tomorrow or in the not-too-distant future. But my biggest thing with this team, I hate how they didn't continue to compete into the second half. It was just infuriating to watch the Warriors go on that open run, which is, you know, tough to deal with when the threes are falling like they were. Credit Klay Thompson on his explosive performance in that third quarter. But the injuries on this team, man, they're tough to ignore, and it's amazing how they just continue to pile up. They haven't had all their active players ready for any game this season, and if Smart's down tomorrow, even with Horford and Jay Crowder presumably returning, then it's going to keep going for another game, which is just so hard to take. And you hate to use that as an excuse, but when you have the most important players on your roster down and out, it's hard not to look at that as a reason for some of the issues we're seeing with the team. But tonight, overall, the compete level was there from the beginning in that first half. And I don't know what happened in that third quarter, 31-9. That's tough to explain outside the hot shooting.
It was definitely hard to explain. And, you know, one thing that isn't hard to explain is really their sponsor for our opening segment, which is Blue Apron. And you know, their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Do you know that cooking together builds strong family bonds? It does in our house. We cook together. We got the Blue Apron. It's great. We love it. Good food. The portions are awesome. I'm feeling healthier eating that stuff. It's been outstanding. Really love it. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often, and it's been true in our house. Now, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals in perfect time for the holidays. And with all these big meals y'all have, it's great to have a Blue Apron available. You don't have to worry about what you're going to make that night. It's already there. It's in the box. It's beautiful. So listen, you know, if you want to get out and get involved in this, you want to go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create good, incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Again, blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, that's a better way to cook. Speaking of a better way to cook, those Golden State Warriors were cooking. And you were talking about how, Bobby, about how the fact that Marcus Smart, that kind of how the Celtics have struggled in this early going and trying to build that momentum. You know, even though the Golden State Warriors had some changes here in early going for their team, I mean, you take out pretty much their entire bench, you plug in a former MVP in Kevin Durant and Zaza Pachulia, he of whatever that was. After that third quarter, man, I mean, those guys really looked like our worst nightmare about what the Golden State Warriors could be this season.
They look like world beaters out there, and Kevin Durant really is the key difference. I mean, they contained Curry. He went 1 of 6 in that early going right there. Klay Thompson didn't really get a footing until the second half, but every single time Durant lined up with a smaller man on him, and it looked like I was watching that Oklahoma City game from Boston all over again last year, whether it was Avery Bradley, Terry Rozier, these smaller defenders, Marcus Smart even, who's been known to defend bigger opponents in the past. Durant would just stick his butt into these guys, turn around and either hit a jumper or have clear vision to hit another guy on the run. He had 3 or 4 assists just looking straight over smaller defenders today. And it's hard to argue with Brad Stevens' approach there. You don't really have a guy who can physically stand up to Kevin Durant in the absence of Jay Crowder. So what do? You go to smaller, scrappier defenders. But I would have liked to have seen Jaylen Brown at least get one of these other, especially the height. I mean, Marcus Smart, but when you have one of the shooters in NBA history, you think ball of your head.
Well, Bobby, you're cutting in and out a bit. So I'm going to try to make a little bit, add a little bit off of what you were saying, because, you know, just taking off of your points on Kevin Durant, I think you're right. There wasn't a good matchup out there. I know earlier in the day we were talking a little bit about the idea of Marcus Smart being out there. I don't personally mind that all that much. I think Marcus is a bully, a bit of a defender. He gets in the guy's chest. He gets in their jersey. He really messes with him a little bit. It certainly worked with Porzingis. Now, look, Kevin Durant is a professional scorer. He is, you know, he is among the best that have ever done it. And he has not just, you know, it's not just that he's a forward playing against a guard in Smart. Really, you know, he's got that kind of 7 foot. I mean, he's really got almost center type length. So not only can he elevate and raise that ball up ahead, but he's also so smooth. He can put it on the floor. So many different things he can do. Shooting 10 for 13 from the field tonight. 10. I mean, that's, you know, still 77%. 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. You know, I mean, look, we're all frustrated as Celtics fans to have Kevin Durant in a Golden State uniform. But did he really have to rub it in our face tonight? I mean, do you think, Bobby, that any of this was him kind of sticking it in the face of the Celtics fans who kind of been moaning and complaining about the fact that he didn't come here? Oh, maybe Bobby hasn't gotten to – well, Bobby was going to move to a different room, so maybe we can make him out here a little bit. So while we kind of go on to that, just kind of running down a little bit more here, the box score. Klay Thompson, another guy who certainly has been a lot in discussion here for Celtics fans, as Scalabrine had, as we all heard, a bit of a – I don't even want to call it a rumor. But let's just say it was the idea of a rumor. Let's call it that. Klay Thompson responding night 12 of 21 from the field, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 28 points in 30 minutes. I mean, just an absolute scorching performance from Klay Thompson. Again, though, both guys in a situation where the Celtics have created these small, scrappy players who can get there. You know, this is maybe one of these teams where the length of this team is really going to hurt them. It hasn't hurt the Celtics when they've had to play teams like Milwaukee, which has a lot of length all over this court, but can't make a shot. Here, you've got length and you've got shooting and passing. It's a devastating combination. Bobby, I any luck on the old tech support side of things?
It's sounding good now. I think I'm back in the game.
Boy, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I was just saying, though, I don't know if you can hear any of it, but I was talking a little bit about Kevin Durant, and going back to my question earlier was, do you think any of this is him kind of sticking it in the eye, I guess, of Celtics fans who have been kind of moaning and complaining about the fact he didn't come here?
Well, he heard it out of the opening lineup tonight. They played it on TV toward the halftime, I think, and there was just showers of boos on Durant tonight, which – I didn't really care for it that much. Can I repeat that he really took up the lead on the state, and it's kind of a scumbag move almost to join the best guys and almost, you know, throw every other team in the league out of balance. I said, yeah, he would have heard it like that from Celtics fans if he went back to Oklahoma City. So I think it has more to do with the team rather than Boston. I mean, he gave Boston their fair shot. A lot of teams in the league didn't even get interviewed with Durant. He gave Celtics, it sounded like they were one of his finalists. And what Celtics fans seem to forget tonight is that he's going to be a year, presumably. But, you know, every fan has the right to feel the way they want to and express themselves paying for those tickets out there against a Golden State team. So, what can you say?
Well, you know, one thing I would like to say is I'd sure like it if we could get a little bit fewer bandwagon fans there. You know, we saw this a lot during the Kobe years, really to a disgusting display. I can understand it a little bit with Golden State. I mean, there's just a pureness of the way they play, the appreciation of that. But personally, it kind of annoys me that, you know, this is one of the, in Durant's words, one of the five best fan bases in the entire league. And you still see a lot of yellow. You'll see it when the Knicks, they'll come up here and Knicks fans fly up seats. It kind of bothers me that, you know, for an area that does so well at supporting its fans, we do have some season ticket holders that are selling, trying to make a couple bucks, and I can't begrudge them for that, but they're really selling out in favor of worsening the Celtics' home, you know, ample home court advantage. And I can't blame the guys for selling, I guess, but it does hurt the Celtics' ability to really be, you know, to be in charge there. It's really kind of frustrating, you know, as a Celtics fan to watch that. So I'm not sure if that's really something that you can really do anything about, but it's hard to listen to. It's hard to sit there and you see all these folks. And listen, I'm as a dad and as a coach of some little kid playing ball, I can tell you, they do look up to these Warriors. They look up to KD. They look up to, you know, Steph Curry, certainly. I mean, my team, it's a bunch of fifth and sixth grade boys, and the first thing they do when they pick up the ball after they lace up their sneakers is they go to the three-point line and chuck it. They all want to be Kevin Durant. They all want to be Steph Curry. It's you know, they used to call the greatest show on turf. You know, you used to have that in football. This is an amazing performance that we see from the Golden State Warriors, and it is a spectacle. But there's a part of that where it goes from that to, okay, well, now we're here to root for the team. See that smattering of yellow around the lower loge area at the Garden? It's tough to watch. It really is. So hopefully we'll be much closer to Celtics as the Celtics now get better, get healthier, maybe become real contenders. We can get those guys out of here. Can you imagine the Laker years seeing – I mean, sure, you'd see the individual celebrities there, but can you imagine seeing that much yellow and purple in the, you know, those games in the 80s or even during 2008? I don't think we saw that. I don't think we saw that at all. So I'll look forward to those days going by the wayside. We've got Bobby had to step out for a minute. We're hoping he can kind of get some things cleared up, and we're hoping we'll be able to, on the technical support side of things, keep it all rolling and get him back with us. We're looking, you know, kind of as we move ahead here in the, you know, I guess looking at the Celtics side, we talked a little bit about the Warriors. I think probably the one thing that stands out to me is, and certainly another great performance by Bradley and Thomas lesser so, but the injury for Marcus Smart really gets me nervous. That's the one I think for Celtics fans you've got to worry. It looks like we maybe close to seeing Al Horford return and having Jay Crowder, as both will seemingly be going on the Celtics road trip here that kicks off tonight. But you thought, okay, if we can just get through this one, now we'll finally have the whole team together, which really the Celtics have not had throughout the entire course of this season. And now Marcus Smart goes down with some sort of ankle contusion. So I'm not sure how the fire alarms will impact the ability. We're going to have Nick Gelso is going to be joining us, the founder of CLNS Radio. And a guy who I first came to know is really another podcast host. Certainly doing great stuff back in the day, and now look where we all have come. I'm still podcasting, and now he's the founder. It's good stuff. But we're glad to have Nick join us, and he'll be calling us in from the Garden tonight. And you know, so I think certainly the Celtics fans, those are the real two stories you're looking at tonight. Great performance by the Warriors, but that Smart injury, what's going to happen? There's really some growth we've seen there. Let's hope that this is not something that's going to linger on and something that we really have to worry about. I think, you know, if I'm the Celtics, probably, you know, do you want to be really cautious at this point? You got to believe so. And I think for the Celtics, maybe their best effort is to go ahead, put him on the shelf, and let some of these other guys step up. We saw some good performances tonight by Jaylen Brown. I think Terry Rozier showed up pretty well. And I would also probably throw James Young in that group. And I think those are things that we can probably build off of. But those guys, they have to build consistency, don't they? I think that's the thing, as a young player, you're looking for everyone to build. It's the thing that Avery Bradley wasn't able to do early on. It's something that Marcus Smart is still trying to put in his quiver of tools. But those guys, once they become consistent performers, that's when that second unit will really go to the next level. I thought, you know, in the early going, the Celtics performed well. But once that second unit came in the second quarter, that's when things started to shake out a little bit. But let's be honest, it was the third quarter when the Golden State Warriors really took things into a higher gear, the type of gear that, frankly, you're not going to see too often. And look, we're gonna try to get your calls. We want to hear what you think. We're gonna jump off after a break here in a second, and we'll be back in just a moment. So stay tuned.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it's always important to know where your food comes from. I'd like to take a moment and tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Folks, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you only the best in variety, flexibility, and ease of use. The recipe cards are incredible. This month, I made pan-seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with butter caper sauce, spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir-fry with sweet potato noodles, lemongrass roasted pork with Romanesco cauliflower and coconut rice. These entrees may sound complicated, but with Blue Apron's recipe cards, they are easy and fun and get the whole family involved. We'd love for you to try Blue Apron. Support the Celtics postgame show and the entire CLNS radio network. And guess what? It's not going to cost you anything. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how it feels. You will love how it tastes. You will love creating incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Again, no risk involved. Three free meals, free shipping. That's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher, and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Celtics post-game show here on CLNS Radio. John Duke here. Bobby Manning is back with us. The technical bugs have been worked out. We're glad to have him. But you know what? Bobby's here. I'm here. Let's get crazy. Let's now open the Movement Watches call lines. The number 347-215-7771. Again, the number to reach us at is 347-215-7771. Those phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. And while department store watches are start at $400 to $500, the good folks at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out and are passing that savings directly to you. Movement Watches are slick, fashionable, and most importantly, they're affordable, starting at just $95. Go to mvmtwatches.com/Celticsbeat. for your 15% off your first order with free shipping. That's mvmtwatches.com/Celticsbeat. So look, we got a 104 Golden State Warriors beating the Celtics tonight, 104-88. What was a close game in the first half, not so close at all in the third quarter. And then things kind of closing a little bit in the fourth quarter, but certainly not enough for the Celtics. Bobby, you've got something for us. I think you want to add it to a little bit of news here on Smart.
Yeah, a little bit of a redeeming news story out of the Garden tonight from Jay King. It seems like a bone bruise in his ankle from Marcus Smart. He's going to travel to Detroit tomorrow. His status is up in the air at this point, but at least he's going to be out there and hopefully be ready to go.
Well, that's great news. That's great news. That's, you know, the bone bruises, there's always a tough thing. And I mean, I think we remember certainly last year when he had the real bad ankle sprain where we thought he may have broken the ankle. Right around this time, I think, of last year, it was really, I think, it wasn't so much the ankle, it was the bruise that kept him out for quite some time. Certainly, this is a bit of a different scenario. I know, Bobby, you had a video you put up of the injury itself. To me, it looked like he kind of got it stepped on a little bit. What did you see?
He got caught up between a two-on-one. It didn't seem like it was a contact injury. I think he just landed on it weird, kind of like how Jay Crowder did against the Bulls a couple weeks back, and that's why he's been out for so long. Now, this, like you said, this team can't stay away from the ankle ailments. Crowder had the ankle, Smart himself last year. He missed the first three games of this season with an ankle injury, so something's wrong with the ankles down there. And this team as a whole, I don't know what it is. The injuries just keep following them around everywhere. It was part of the reason their season got derailed last year, which everyone forgets. Crowder missed a ton of time down the stretch. He wasn't himself once the playoffs came around. Isaiah had a wrist injury throughout the whole final stretch. Bradley had his hamstring injury. So it's something that won't go away. you can't use as a total excuse, but at the end of the day, this team has a tough time sustaining injuries, and every time an important piece goes down, they have a tough time replicating what that person can do, or even just kind of riding the wave while they're out. At 6-5 right now, not the worst start to this season, but they've definitely been affected by the absences they've had, and hopefully Smart's not another one they're going to have to deal with going forward.
Yeah, you know, we've talked a lot about this issue on Celtics Stuff Live. My good co-host, longtime co-host and buddy, Justin Poole and I, we've been talking a lot about this, how the Celtics really are operating on two tracks here. They've got the track of win now and try to compete now and hope to maybe take advantage of a trade to be able to win now. But they've also got this other track, which is if it doesn't work out, they've got the picks, got Jaylen Brown, they've got Marcus Smart, they've got Rozier. So they're living in two worlds. And the problem is, to me, is that if some of those young guys haven't really established themselves yet, and I'm talking about Young and Rozier and some cases Smart, but more Brown, those three guys, they're the core of that second unit. And with injuries, those guys are forced to play a consistent, reliable role every night. And without, you know, being 19, 20, 21 years old, that's a lot to ask of anybody. And so when you add injuries to key components, you're moving everyone up that depth chart, maybe more than they should be. Last year in the playoffs, certainly we all saw that they were just besieged with injuries all over their rotation. Very few teams could make that. Even the Warriors would struggle if they lost three or four of their rotation players. Having said that, of course, they'd still be able to get past the Atlanta Hawks. The Celtics clearly were not. And now this year at the start, here we're three weeks into the season. And unfortunately, the injury bug has bitten them again. We thought maybe we'd be through it. We're still dealing with it. Bobby, where do you think this goes? Do you think this is indicative of the Celtics style because they are such hard charging players, or is it a freak injury situation where the dice just haven't come up on the Celtics side of things?
I think it's more the former. Their style of play is relentless. A lot of these injuries are in transition, ankle turns, hamstrings, that kind of stuff. It's hard to attribute stuff like that to anything other than just the relentless style they play in every single night. And it's something I questioned before the season, you know, how they were going to handle some of these guys, especially Al Horford coming in here, a guy with an injury history. Managing minutes was something I was going to be looking for throughout the course of the season, especially with Horford, where they were going to give guys nights off, you know, third quarters where they were going to pull some guys out. And credit Brad Stevens, when they got behind early in the third tonight, Isaiah Thomas, a lot of the starters were out of there and they moved on to that second unit. Isaiah didn't like it. He said afterwards he thought they had a chance to come back and make it a game, but they've shown that they're a team that can't sustain injuries. They have great depth, but it's not the kind of depth that can come up and replace their most important players. I compare the Celtics to a puzzle a lot of the time. They have a lot of great pieces who make the team come together as a whole, but when you start missing pieces, you can't just throw other random pieces in there and expect to complete it. And it stinks. You could even point to it as a flaw in how they're built as a team. When they get unhealthy, things take a turn for the worse with them. And you could point to the way they manage the roster on a night-to-night basis, but I don't think that's appropriate here either, because we're so early into the season. 12 games in, we have a concussion, an ankle sprain, this kind of. There can't be wear and tear yet this early in the year, so it's tough to say how all this stuff's coming together other than bad luck. It's tough. You really hope they don't lose a season as promising as this one just because of some injuries here and there. But if they are missing bodies, the season's not going to go the way they want it to.
You know, and I'd agree with you there. I think that they need to get healthy. I don't, you know, you've got to wonder how much of that hard charging style, certainly with Crowder and with Smart, both guys who turned ankles. I couldn't say that either any of those situations, either last year or this year, for either of those two, in the two ankle sprains both of them have had, both last year and this year. Smart having two last year, having one last year, one this year, and Crowder one last year, one this year. Neither one stands out as something that was perhaps an improper, you know, diving for a loose ball, you know, going out of bounds, a situation like that, a hustle play. But they work hard all the time. They're always battling. And that's why you love them as players. Unfortunately, that maybe puts more miles on their odometer than you might normally see. So it's a good question. You know, but to your other point in terms of the minutes, and you're absolutely right. You know, Isaiah puts in 27 minutes tonight. For the season, he's only averaging 32 minutes a night. So, you know, for the guy who really they're riding the hot hand, that's a guy that, you know, 32 minutes is a pretty reasonable number, even for someone as small and for someone who maybe takes a little bit more abuse like Isaiah does. 32 minutes seems like the right number to me. You? What do you think, Bobby?
The minutes were managed perfectly tonight across the board. I mean, Marcus Smart at 24. You have Terry Rozier filling in at 25. Brown got his fair share. Gerald Green and some of the guys on the lower part of the bench came in as well. But the bench is something you have to look to. When these guys are getting their minutes, and they're going to come in large bunches with how they're trying to handle this thing top to bottom, they have to start producing. I mean, some of these guys have to step up. Kelly Olynyk playing as a starter tonight, irrelevant. He didn't even lay his finger on this game, I thought. Gerald Green, a guy I really supported and feel terribly now going into the season. I thought he could give them big spurts of offense off the bench when they needed him. That's the role they've kind of used him in. When they got down double digits, 20 points tonight, they put him in, hoping to find quick points. He's kind of falling out of the fold there. James Young had one great game this year, and besides that, he doesn't really come into fruition. Some of these guys on the bench, Tyler Zeller, too, riding ups and downs. They're going to try to manage minutes. These guys are going to get more production. It's just an impressive.
We're getting a little bit of the gremlins in your microphone, Bobby. So we'll have to. Hopefully that will clear itself up. You know, your point. Who the third highest number of shots tonight? You got Isaiah and Bradley. If you were to say Gerald Green was the third most shot, you know, guy puts put up the third most shots. That's not a good sign. That's not where you want to be, especially when he's shooting 2 for 11. You know, I think there's a bit of a, you know, you ride with some of these younger players and you do hope they can get the most out of it. You know, you've got, you know, Terry Rozier, you know, I thought he played decently, particularly in that fourth quarter. He showed some energy and some effort. You know, Rozier's thing is he sometimes gets out of control and loses his place in terms of where he's at. The fact that he was unable to kind of find that in the early going, I think really, you know, has hurt him. He hasn't found his groove like he had in the preseason and in summer league. He's got to somehow find that on a consistent night-to-night basis. If he can, he could be a real key cog for that second unit. I think Jaylen Brown, it's hard to expect a lot of the guy. He's 19. We see the flashes. We see what he can do. We see him taking a guy who's a great defender, one of the best defenders in the league, certainly, on the wing, and Andre Iguodala, takes him right to the rack. You know, unfortunately, he wasn't able to get the finish, but does it gets by him, which is – no small feat. Nick, help me here. Where do you think this Celtics bench could fill in?
Well, we're going deep into the bench here on the post-game show, so we can talk about the bench on the Celtics bench in this game. Personally, I agree with pretty much most of what you said. I mean, Gerald Green could be giving us more. I think 6 points and six rebounds are decent numbers for 17 minutes in a game, but not when you're shooting 11 shots and only making two of them. At least those two were three-pointers. He went 2 for 5 from three, so that wasn't terrible. But James Young, like Bobby Manning was saying as his mic was just about to cut out, he had that one game, and it was funny to me reading, you know, social media and, you know, the excitement that James Young game where he scored, I think, 12 points or something like that and had a pretty decent game, the excitement that generated for the potential of James Young. And then once again, he just kind of didn't really show up. I mean, 2 points is not good. 1-for-3 shooting, 0-for-2 from three. I like the 3 rebounds. I like the assist. You know, in 12 minutes wasn't that much time. He was a plus 13. But he's just another inconsistent player that I just don't think is going to be somebody that can, you know, really give us something. You know, you can't really depend on him to come off the bench and really give us anything. Although I think tonight his role was a little bit different because we were already significantly down by the time he came in. But this bench, when we don't have the players that we have starting, like when we're missing our starters like Al Horford and Jay Crawford, that brings some of our bench players up into the starting lineup, like Kelly Olynyk and Marcus Smart, who now seems to have a bone bruise and is, I would say, probably at worst, you know, questionable for the next game, might not play the next game. It's like those are guys that would normally be coming off the bench, that would be anchoring our bench. And I think Jay Brown gave us a decent performance off the bench, but when he's not playing alongside players like Marcus Smart, when he's not playing alongside players like Kelly Olynyk, who just had a terrible game tonight in the starting lineup, because he shouldn't be playing against starting caliber players, especially not starting caliber players on the best team in the NBA, or conceivably the best team, you know, the super team in the NBA. There's just, we're going really deep. We're going really deep in the bench, and I just don't, somebody said earlier, this team is like a puzzle. And when it's all put together, when all the pieces are there, and it hasn't been the entire season, we have not had the whole unit, the whole team playing. There's always been an injury. We started the season with Kelly Olynyk out. We started the season with Marcus Smart out. And then as soon as they came back, Jay Crowder and Al Horford got injured. And it's just never been a full rotation of players. And Brad Stevens is once again having to kind of build this rotation on the fly. And when you miss key players like Al Horford and Jay Crowder are, and you have to bring in our key bench players to come in and start, there just isn't enough talent off the bench to buoy this team, to keep this team, you know, anchored, to keep this team going when, you know, the starters need a rest, because we can't play our starters a full 48 minutes. It's just not possible. A.B. Bradley played 35 tonight, and he gave us a great game, 17 points and 10 boards, again leading the team in rebounds, which is, to me, extremely impressive, but not ideal. We just don't have at this point, I think, the talent off the bench to really give our starters, you know, that blow when they need it.
When your 6'2 shooting guard is consistently leading your team in rebounding, not great. You know, it was
not
great when Rondo would, you know, grab the boards every so often. He'd lead the team, and that was kind of great. You know, it's like, okay, everybody's helping out, but it's by necessity at this point. It's terrible. It really is. You know, and I'm just wondering. You know, hopefully they can, once we get Horford back and we kind of can find some stability there, that maybe this team is you know, trying to get somewhere. I do want to kind of run, this is a quote that's kind of making the rounds right now. There's a couple of things coming out of the Garden right now. One, there's a video I just tweeted out. Marcus Smart walking, I wouldn't say walking, limping, really, on his way out of the Garden tonight. He's got a brace, not a boot, but a brace around the ankle. So, you know, not looking great. And that's really not what we want to see. And then, you know, also, again, I'm just going to leave it. There's a little something that Isaiah Thomas said. And so I want you all to kind of stick around. We're going to go to break right now. And, he's got some really harsh words for, not his team and his coach. So stick around after the break. We'll give that to you on the other side.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
This is Jared Weiss of the Garden Report Live postgame show, and let's talk about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But now, with our promo code GARDEN, $800 custom suits will cost you just $389. That is over 50% off a made-to-measure suit. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an incredible experience. They are filled to the cuff with fabric selections, with pretty much any pattern and color combination that you can think of for a suit. You pick your lining, you pick your lapel, your monogram, and more. They even have custom shirts, too, so you can get the exact collar that you want. I'm getting a shirt with a cutaway collar, which is something that I have a lot of trouble finding, so I'm excited about that. The measurement process is actually pretty fun. Your style guide just makes it an easy experience. You show up to the store, you kick back, relax, and you just get ready to step into a perfectly fitting suit in just 4 weeks. So go to Indochino.com to book your appointment at their Boston showroom, and you can get any premium suit for just $389 when you mention the code GARDEN. You're just not going to beat that deal anywhere. You cannot get a made-to-measure suit of quality construction and fabric even near that price anywhere. And to have it this accessible and easy and fun, you just can't beat it.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show, streaming live on clnsradio.com, as well as ESPN New Hampshire, 912.50 AM, although not tonight. The CLNS Radio is the leading online provider of audio video coverage for the Boston Celtics. The Celtics fell tonight to the Golden State Warriors, 104-88. This is the Boston Celtics postgame show, so give us a call, please, 347-215-7771. I did promise a bit of a tease, and I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of my word, and I'm not going to leave anyone high and dry. I just want to go with what IT said right here, which is, I guess we gave up, coaching staff as well. We started subbing. It was bad, especially I only played 27 minutes. We gave up. Not great words from Isaiah Thomas. Very frustrated, certainly, with the loss, frustrated with not getting a chance to bring him back. I'm going to throw to you, give you either Nick or Bobby a chance to weigh in on this if you want to, but my thought, don't go down by 30 points in the third quarter, IT. I love you, buddy. You're a great player. You got never say die attitude. But it was his starting unit that played like trash and gave up those points in that third quarter. Maybe that's a bit unfair. But I don't think he can be blaming the coaching staff when it was his unit out there that really kind of blew the game out for the whole team in that third quarter. Thoughts, guys? Any pushback, or you agree?
Well, when I'm looking across the board and as a whole body of work this season, there's two players who have been going balls to the wall, scrapping out every minute of every game, giving their maximum production. It starts with Isaiah Thomas, and Avery Bradley's almost there neck and neck with the defensive impact he's had, the effect he's had on the boards, and you can't give Avery Bradley enough credit. I wrote about it last week. The way he's expanded his game to become not only an effective rebounder where he wasn't before, but a great rebounder, is probably a reason why we're talking about this season still as one that has playoff potential. If he hadn't done that with the way the rest of the team's rebounding, we may be talking about this as a lost season already. So give Avery Bradley a hat tip right there, and give Isaiah Thomas a hat tip as well for taking over such an enormous scoring brunt where the rest of the team hasn't been able to do it. And Jeff Van Gundy even talked about him as an MVP candidate where some of the losses they've had early this season. And I'm not going to say he has a chance to win it, but he's going to appear in the voting for sure. I mean, the things he's doing in the scoring department are outstanding. And where he calls out the rest of the team and the coaching staff saying they gave up, part of me wants to disagree with him because I think it's a good move by Brad Stevens pulling the plug and saying that we have a game tomorrow and we need to get there healthy, and they may not have even done that with Smart going down. But on the other side, a difference I've seen with the team this year is that they're not carrying these games down in the final second. One thing we've come to know about this team over the past 2 years is that these games aren't going to end easy. Like, they might lose, but they're going to take you the final second. They're going to erase 15-point deficits, 20-point deficits. They were comeback machines these past 2 years, and you haven't seen anything even resembling that this year. And I'm not sure where that lies in. It's not Isaiah Thomas. It's not Avery Bradley. But somewhere or another, the team hasn't been just crushing their opponents with energy, relentless comeback attitude, and I think that's what Isaiah Thomas is kind of pointing on more than the fact that they pulled some of the starters tonight. The Celtics hustle, as I coined it 2 years ago, hasn't been there this year. It's been there in spurts, but we haven't seen it over the complete course of a game, that epic comeback in the fourth quarter where they're down 15 points and it's just gone by the end of the fourth quarter, and they might not always pull it off, but they're always there at the end. We need to see more of that. That's who this team is, and it's who they need to get back to being.
Well, I think they did have somewhat of a comeback tonight because they were down by in the 20s, if not the 30s, going into the fourth quarter, and then brought it down into, I think they got within 12 points towards the end of the game and then finally lost by 16. I mean, if there's anybody that can make a criticism, it's Isaiah Thomas, because he's scored 20 points in every single game with the exception of tonight. Tonight was the first game of the season that he didn't score 20 points, and he's definitely been, you know, killing it in that aspect, scoring, doing those things, you know, really, really hustling, really putting the team on his back in many instances. But I don't think, as John Duke said, he didn't exactly have the best game tonight. Maybe it's the injury to the finger on his shooting hand, but he only shot 33%, 4 from 12 from field goals is not from the field is not really fantastic. 1 for 6 from threes. He's been really throwing up some turds from the three-point line lately in the past few games. I'm going to attribute that. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and attribute that to his finger, to the injured finger. But he did go 9 for 9 from the free throw line, so that's good. But, I mean, aside from the scoring, he hasn't really lit it up in terms of ball distribution, and that's something that I think this team really needs. This team really needs better ball movement, needs to get the ball around to the other players. Now, granted, some of those players aren't even playing, so who is he going to pass to? But four assists from your point guard, and I think that didn't lead the team. Rozier had five, all right? So we had the top assist was five, and this is in comparison to Golden State. Now, granted, again, Golden State has a team full of all-stars, but Golden State had 33 assists to our what was it, 17. So they out-assisted us by more than double, 16 assists more than we had. And I think that's a key to this game, is that we really need to move the ball around. And that's another issue that I have with Avery Bradley's rebounding. You don't want your two guard to be rebounding the ball, because if he's the one rebounding the ball, then he's trailing the play. You need somebody else to rebound the ball to get the outlet and have Avery Bradley be running up the court and already in position to either be on the wing to score a three or to be able to cut and shoot and score rather than rebounding and trail the play. And that's not helping anything at all. But my biggest issue with Isaiah Thomas is, do you want your number one player, who's going to be coming up on a contract season and who's probably going to demand somewhere close to, if not max contract, openly expressing his disapproval, or his maybe not anger, but definitely his disapproval with coaching strategy, with the minutes that he's getting, as he's about to come up on a contract season where he's going to be demanding extra money? I don't think that's really what we want from Isaiah Thomas now, and I think Isaiah Thomas in some ways needs to recognize that this team going into the season really planned to have, you know, Al Horford, really planned to have Jay Crowder, really planned to have these players around him, and they're not there. So when those players aren't there, when key pieces to the puzzle aren't in the game, at some point you kind of got to understand, listen, it's just not working, we got to try something else. And Isaiah Thomas, again, being a young player, and I talked about this with Matt Rury on one of the post-game shows a few nights ago. Isaiah Thomas is a young guy. He's never been in a position before where he's been on a team that is considered a contender and has been the leader of a team that's considered a contender. But he needs to embrace that leadership role, and maybe in certain circumstances, I don't want to say not be so outspoken, but learn how to use his voice in a way that doesn't sound so frustrated and upset and critical of the coaching staff that's really put him in a position to be an all-star, that really made him an all-star, that really gave him, you know, the opportunity to shine. So I'm not very happy with that criticism. I'm definitely not happy with the fact that his starting unit is the one that, you know, kind of fell down by 30 points, and his shooting output wasn't all that fantastic. But at the same time, Isaiah Thomas is the reason that this team is even still 500 right now. We're still 6-6, and we still have a chance to even make the playoffs, even though it's early, and I think once our players all come back, we'll get back into that hunt. But it's getting closer and closer to that time now where we're going to be ending up playing catch-up the rest of the season when we finally do get those players back, and we need Isaiah Thomas to maintain his composure and kind of, you know, check that frustration a little bit and understand the circumstances.
Nick, I'm gonna backpedal to your Avery.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I'm gonna back to your Avery Bradley criticism, because I know you love to dish out the Avery Bradley criticism where you can. I'm not looking at his rebounding as a negative, and you know, I'm gonna point to some other guys on the team, especially as we try to play the blame game a little bit now, seeing where things are going wrong. Valid point. Bradley has to be out on the forefront of the fast break. The absence of the fast break offense is a big reason that the team hasn't been as effective on that end as they have been in the past. But at the same time, like, someone's going to pick up the slack in the rebounding game. I see Marcus Smart boxing out Draymond Green as he's about to rip his head off from behind. I see Terry Rozier getting involved with 7 rebounds. I even see Isaiah Thomas getting his 2 to 3 rebounds a night. And meanwhile, Kelly Olynyk's going up, seeing balls pop out of his hands. Tyler Zeller is as inept in the rebounding game as he's ever been. I even expect much more out of Jonas Jerebko, who was getting 7-8 rebounds a game last year when he was getting solid minutes. And the guy I point to more than anyone who's been such a letdown this year, especially in that department, is Amir Johnson. I have seen nothing out of Amir Johnson this year, and I'm as big of an Amir Johnson guy as anyone. I loved the signing when they did it. Last year, I thought he was one of the most important players on the team, maybe the third most important player on the team last year, the way he protected the rim, rebounded the ball, double-double machine. I haven't seen anything out of him this year. I mean, even his body expression during these games, I don't see him engaged. I don't see him hustling. 2 rebounds tonight in 16 minutes. Hucking up threes in some of these games, too. What is that? I know the system's built around three-point shooting, but Amir Johnson doesn't have to be the guy taking those shots. The other night, I forget which game it was, but he shot 3 threes in the first 4 minutes of the game, and 2 went flying over the basket completely. I don't know what Amir Johnson's doing. But his absence is a big reason they're struggling the way they are. He needs to protect the rim. He needs to be stealing up rebounds defensively. I point to him more than anyone for the team's struggles right now. He's
let's,
a starter
let me jump
on the
in.
Team. He's the starting center.
Yeah. I was just going to say, jumping in on that, let me give you some names here. Avery Bradley. Let's see. Tyler Zeller. Kelly Olynyk. Jay Crowder. Let's see. Here we go. Jordan Mickey. Demetrius Jackson. Do you know what those guys all share? They are all sharing the fact that they are getting more rebounds per 100 possessions than Amir Johnson. Demetrius
wow.
Jackson, folks. I mean, even Kelly. So, and Amir apparently has been healthy throughout this time. And he is playing, he is not rebounding at a rate that the Celtics need him to. They desperately need him on the boards. And he's just not, he's not coming through. He's not protecting the ball like they need him to be. The other guy who's in that front court with either Kelly or Horford needs to be the rebounder. They need to be able to go get that ball. And if he's not doing it, he's not helping. I mean, that's been the biggest frustration. Even if everyone plays and everyone's healthy, you still have that spot on the front court next to Horford. At times when Kelly's going well, he could be a perfect person in that situation. And we saw that particularly against Indiana on Saturday, last Saturday. But without, if Kelly isn't going well and you need somebody to hit the boards, the person doesn't exist. They aren't on this roster right now. And so you're left to say, well, where is that going to come from? You're looking at guys like Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart. Like you said, Bobby, they're boxing out. They need more from Tyler Zeller and Amir Johnson when they're in there. Those bigs have got to do their job. It's unconscionable. I mean, and they've done it. Some of these guys have done it in the past. Why they're not doing it for this team right now is really hard to stomach and very hard to understand when really that's the single biggest weakness this team is facing. Yes, they have depth issues, but the fact that they can't rebound consistently or they aren't rebounding consistently, I should say. That's the biggest, you know, concern to me. When there are guys who are shown over their careers, they're certainly capable of it, and even did it last year, just as you were saying earlier.
Well, John, I think what we have to face the fact is that Amir Johnson came straight out of high school, so he's not the oldest player. I think he's somewhere around 30, but he's been in the league for about 12 or 13 years now, and I think those years are really beginning to show in his performance. I just don't think that he's a starting caliber player. He has to start on this team now because we don't have any other option, but I think when or if, whatever, Al Horford comes back, when Al Horford comes back, it may be time to consider leaving Amir Johnson on the bench to play against other bench players where he's not expected to compete with other elite, you know, big men or other big men that are more athletic, have more energy, have more, you know, talent than he does. Tyler Zeller, I don't know what we can expect from him because I don't think Tyler Zeller has ever been that great of a player. I think Tyler Zeller is giving us what he can give us. And that really begs the question, and I think that, John, you wanted to say something about maybe possibly looking at bringing someone in to rebound. But before we do that, I just wanted to mention a Bobby Manning. I have absolutely been a very large, very big critic of Avery Bradley, but this season I have nothing to criticize Avery Bradley for. He's developed so many more aspects of his offensive game. He's developed this incredible knack for rebounding that he really didn't show before. I have no criticism of Avery Bradley whatsoever this year. I think Avery Bradley has made me eat as much crow as I can possibly eat, and I will gladly admit it because I'm not one of those people that wants to bash a player and even when they prove me wrong, just continue to try to find ways to pick at them to make my criticism correct. I'll happily eat that crow and say that Avery Bradley has done very well. It's just the fact that if Avery Bradley is our number one rebounder, he's trailing the play and not getting up in front of the play where we really need him to be because he is one of our best offensive players and he is our best shooter. So that then brings in the question of who does rebound if it's not Amir Johnson. Kelly Olynyk is just soft. He's never going to be a great rebounding big man. He has short arms. He's soft. He's not going to be a great rebounder. Amir Johnson's on the back end of his career. When we get Al Horford back, ever since that pectoral tear, Al Horford hasn't really been a great rebounder. He's hovered around 7 rebounds per game. The 3 games that he played for us this year, he averaged 5 rebounds. I think personally, it's time that we need to start looking at, you know, trying to find someone to bring in around the trade deadline. And it doesn't have to be a huge, you know, blockbuster move. I'm not necessarily talking about trading half the team for Anthony Davis like I've seen in some of these trade rumors. And I certainly don't think adding Boogie Cousins is really the answer, even though Boogie Cousins seems to get brought up at every, you know, trade deadline and every offseason he's rumored to be coming to the Celtics. But I think looking at a move for somebody like Nerlens Noel, Willie Cauley-Stein, somebody like that that can come in and shore up our front court, because we just don't have it. And even when Al Horford comes back, he's not the greatest rebounding big man at this point in his career. Again, another 30-year-old player. And his game, ever since that pectoral tear on both the offensive end and the defensive end, well, not the defensive end, but on the offensive end, has moved farther away from the basket. He's been taking more three-pointers, taking more jumpers from outside of the paint, and his rebounding numbers have declined ever since he had that pectoral tear 3 or 4 seasons ago. And we just don't have anybody on this roster that's going to get in there, get dirty, get grimy, and grab those boards, except for guys like Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley, who are ideally guys you don't want to be doing that, because you want them to be in front of the break or in front leading the offense.
Yeah,
no one's stepping up.
No disagreement
ahead,
here. Yo, Bobby, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it's terrible that no one's stepping up internally, and the big question you have to ask if you're going to go towards an external source, especially one that's not going to be a transformative player like an Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins, is you got to ask, is it worth it? Is pulling in an outside guy and using assets just to patch up a hole, as I would call it? You're just finding a guy who can help in the rebounding department. He's not really going to transcend the team. He's just going to help the rebounding department immediately. If you're going to use assets for that, I think you need to be sure that this is a team that's going to be able to be competitive in the Eastern Conference. And we all thought that was going to be the case going into the season. I'm not sure if we know that's going to be the case now. So if you're going to use those assets on just patching a hole, you got to ask, is it worth it? And I think that's why you really have to force the issue on a major trade like a DeMarcus Cousins. An Anthony Davis trade isn't happening. A lot of people keep talking about it. I always say I would trade the whole team for Anthony Davis. That's how much I love him as a player.
You can build a whole team around him.
Oh, my God. He's so good. He's such a pleasure to watch, but let's not get going in that department. I think you can have DeMarcus Cousins at some point. We're not there yet. Hopefully we're getting closer, because as these contracts start coming up, you might start losing the core of the Celtics team. But I just wish Sacramento would open the door to trading him. But patching a hole, I think you got to exhaust every option first. And I'm going to throw an idea right now, especially as we might be getting him back tomorrow. But would you consider starting Jay Crowder at the 4 for Amir Johnson, pulling in maybe Jaylen Brown, maybe keeping Marcus Smart at the 3 as they are right now? But Crowder, very capable rebounder. He's played the 4 consistently for this team. Would you just go small ball out of the break? That's an idea I'm having right now, and see how that affects the rebounding, see how it affects the offense. Because I'd exhaust every internal option before you think about patching a hole with an outside source.
I've been screaming for that since before the season started, that I thought Jay Crowder would probably make the best. That would make for the best starting lineup. The only issue I have with that, before I let John jump in, is that if Marcus Smart is then put at the 3, and he's a very small 3, who then anchors the passing and the defense off the bench? Because we don't have that much passing and we don't have that much defense coming off the bench if we have a starting lineup of Al Horford, Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, and Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas. The bench then is left without very much in terms of ball distribution and rebounding itself.
Do you trust Terry Rozier to do that?
No, I don't think so. I think what we saw tonight is the direction they're going to go in, which is there's no point that either Isaiah or Bradley are off the 4. Pretty much, I'd say 80-90% of the minutes out there, one of those two guys is out there and they're sharing the court with Rozier or Smart. Or I don't think they yet trust Smart's ability to get his own shot. And so they need somebody who has that go-to ability. And I can't believe I'm saying that about Avery Bradley at this point, but I think he's that guy. But to your larger point though, Bobby, I'm not there yet on Jaylen Brown. That probably shouldn't surprise anybody who's listening to Celtics stuff live. I think Jaylen Brown has a lot of potential. I think he could be a great player someday. He's got skills. He's got ability. I think you need someone in that starting unit who's a bit more consistent, who you can rely upon. And I'm not sure he's there yet. I'd put Marcus Smart in that spot and try to stagger the guards a bit and maybe give Smart a little bit more ball handling to that starting unit and allow him to do some things. Cause I do think that's something where he's going, but his scoring has to be a much more of an effort, a much more of a consistent thing for him to lead that second unit or lead really any unit at this point. I think he's got the playmaking. It just doesn't have the scoring to really anchor the whole group. And I'm just not there yet on Jaylen Brown. Do I think he could be there by the end of the year? Maybe, but you know, it just, he has to bring much, a bit more of a consistent effort night after night. And I certainly don't. But unfortunately, things are a little bit bare. It's really hard to find somebody else. Are you going to put James Young in there? No, I hope not. Gerald Green. So you're right. If you do move Jay to the four, you're almost stuck with that. But to me, if this team is going to go anywhere, those guys we talked about earlier, the Tyler Zellers and the Jarebkos, they're going to have to pick it up, or this team is going to make a trade. You know, and I don't know that they're going to make a short-term trade. I think they're going to make a big trade. I'm just not sure who would be available, who would fit that role as, the ability to maybe spread the floor a bit as a power forward next to Horford and hit the rebounding angle. It's a really tough piece, and it's tough to see any trades happening because this league hasn't made many meaningful trades in a long, long time.
Well, You know what I love about DeMarcus Cousins, and I think he is that guy. Sacramento is just such an unpredictable organization. You don't know what direction they're going in. You don't know who their coach is going to be tomorrow. Every team in the league dreams of Cousins being available, but it just hasn't happened yet. And you really hope they don't bring it all the way to his free agency and just watch him walk away, because by that point, I think it'll be too late for the Celtics. I don't think they'll be able to acquire him as a free agent. But I mean, everything he does, he's a 12-rebound-a-game guy. He's brought his game out to the perimeter. He can score on guys' interior. He brings center size and beef and aggressiveness that you don't see in the league nowadays. And most of all, and this is what I think people undercut the most, people always talk about his personality, how he could cause problems in the locker room. I kind of see it on the flip side. In the East right now, the biggest problem for every East team is that no team can stand up to LeBron James. I mean, no one can touch him. He's blown by everybody. He's been in the finals for 6 straight years now, whatever it's been. No one's been able to stand up to LeBron James. I think Cousins, not in terms of skill, but he's just such a nasty guy. He's so angry out there on the floor. He's going to bump and bruise and he's not going to be friendly with LeBron out there. He's going to hit him on the way of the paint. Someone's going to stand up to LeBron, and it's not the style of basketball anymore where you can just, like, throw a guy to the floor and out-physical another team. That came out awful. But physicality he brings and the aggressiveness he brings and just the angry, mean spirit he brings out on the floor, along with all the skill he has, I would love to see him as the centerpiece of this team. It'd move Al Horford out to the four. You still have Isaiah Thomas, who I think he could be a dynamic duo with. Put anyone out there on the table and retain that big three, and I'd like to keep Jay Crowder with that too. But I think that's the ideal centerpiece Celtics team that could finally make a run at the finals out of the East, adding DeMarcus Cousins to the equation. But it's all based on if Sacramento is going to put him up for auction or not. And right now it doesn't look like they're going to do that.
Well, Bobby brought up the perfect point here is that Al Horford, before the season started, said that he wanted to play the four. So I think what we're looking for is not somebody to play the four while Al Horford plays the five, but somebody that's going to play the five and then move Al Horford down to the stretch four, which is where I think he's going in his now post 30-year-old, you know, career. His, you know, as his game has moved further out, he's taken more three-point shots. He's kind of not as much of a scrapper under the basket as he once was in his earlier days in Atlanta. Is that we do need somebody that's going to play the five and let Al Horford kind of have a little bit more of a, I don't want to say softer game, but not so much of a mix-and-match game, and let somebody like Boogie, and I'm not the biggest Boogie fan, I haven't really been on the bring Boogie into the Celtics bandwagon, but the argument that Bobby just made is kind of hard to argue against because, you know, we need that presence. We need somebody that's going to be nasty. And if we can keep someone like, and I would imagine that either one or the other, if not both, of Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart would have to be thrown into a trade to acquire Boogie Cousins. But if you can keep one or the other, then you have two guys who are really gritty, grimy, aren't friendly with the other team because Jay Crowder, I mean, when he plays, he brings that intensity and that fire. Marcus Smart, we've already seen. I mean, he's willing to go in there and fight a fan if you want. If he's that upset, he's willing to, you know, toss somebody down. And if we can have a couple of those players that are willing to get down into the dirt and be physical with other teams, that's the identity that I think the Celtics could use alongside the finesse of Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas if they're not included in the trade. I think that if Boogie Cousins were to come to the Celtics, though, I think Isaiah Thomas would probably be one of the players that would stay here because that would be one of the draws for Boogie to play alongside Isaiah again. I know they didn't have the best relationship in Sacramento, but I think that they are familiar with each other and that would help, you know, ease the transition in the chemistry of bringing Boogie in. I like what Bobby just said. I'm not the biggest Boogie fan, but I think that what he just said makes a lot of sense. And if Sacramento, if Vlade Divac finally, you know, figures out that he just doesn't know what he's doing and really wants to just, you know, hit the reset button, I would be all in. I would go for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Boogie is maybe worth the gamble. The one thing I would probably say is that goes to what Zach Lowe wrote, which is, you know, if the Celtics feel like that Horford is the center for this team, where does that put Boogie? Is Boogie the center? Now you're going to have Horford, who's going to be 30, 31 years old, playing power forward in a league that has gone smaller, and you have guys who are 6'8", 6'9", who are really playing with a bit more speed and attacking the rim, I guess, a little bit more. It does put Horford maybe you become a bit more traditional, which has really not been Brad Stevens' MO really all along. But at the same point, if you have the most talent, you're going to do whatever you can to try to maximize that. And Boogie's might be the most likely star to move. So maybe you take advantage of that and you roll the dice and see where it goes. You can't really pick and choose all that well in terms of who's out there. You've got to put yourself in a position where you can do that. And the thing is the Celtics window is much smaller, I think, than people realize. Because, for one, if Boogie's going to be traded, he has to be basically traded by the deadline. Because I don't think that the Kings are going to get much for him with only a year left in his contract. So the Kings are going to have to deal him before the deadline this year. And the Celtics are really in a situation where a year from now, or basically next trade deadline, is pretty much the end of their window with all of this flexibility. They're going to have to make some decisions in terms of letting people go beginning this summer, perhaps, with Kelly Olynyk, and what does that mean in terms of their ability to acquire free agents. So this is a time when the Celtics really need to make some decisions, and we really don't truly know how the CBA is going to act. That may dictate whether or not the Celtics should be looking harder at a trade or maybe thinking they can do a little bit better in free agency. It's tough to say, but I'm certainly – he is certainly a game changer and somebody who could really make things look a lot different here, certainly on the glass.
John brings up the perfect point of the CBA and contracts coming up. I mean, I think after next year we have Isaiah Thomas, we have Avery Bradley, we have Marcus Smart that are all coming up on – Kelly Olynyk that are all coming up on contracts and – Isaiah Thomas, we're looking at probably close to a max player. I mean, he's averaging 27 points a game. Maybe not after tonight. It might have gone down, you know, maybe a point or two after his 18-point performance tonight. But Avery Bradley's going to be looking at somewhere upwards of 20-plus million a game. And Marcus Smart, who I've likened to Evan Turner in many ways because he can pass, he can rebound. He's just not a very good shooter. is going to be demanding similar to what Evan Turner got going out to Portland, who's playing absolutely terrible in Portland, by the way. But he's going to be he's going to demand somewhere around $15 million in this new high money, high stakes CBA that we have now. He's going to be demanding somewhere around $50 million a year as well. So if we bring in someone like Boogie, we're going to have to move out some of those other big contracts because they're not going to be able to afford everybody, all these players that are going to want 25-plus million a year contracts in this new CBA. So we're going to have to make some decisions, make them pretty soon, because when players come up on their last year, other teams aren't going to want players that are just going to be rentals. They're not going to want players that maybe we've foregone their bird rights or whatever else it is. We really got to make those decisions, and if we're going to do it, now is really the time to start thinking about it.
I think you're right, Nick. I think you're right. Last thing here before we wrap up the show here tonight, guys. Celtics play tomorrow night in Detroit. Detroit has been looking pretty strong, I think, this year. I think Stan Van Gundy has really revitalized that team. How do you guys feel about their chances tomorrow night? We'll start with you, Bobby.
It's a scary team with the rebounding issues they've had. You have one of the best rebounders in the NBA and Andre Drummond out there. Talk about one of the steals of probably the NBA decade right now is them getting Tobias Harris for Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova. I mean, they got an outstanding young player who can play the 3 and the 4 out there. I've been amazed at how Stan Van Gundy's rebuilt that team. They're one of the up-and-comers in the East, almost in the manner that the Celtics were 2 years ago. So they're going to give them hell tomorrow. It's going to be another really tough one, and you hope Jay Crowder and Al Horford are making the trip. You hope that both of them are out there and some of the bleeding stuff, and Marcus Smart for that matter. Let's get the whole team healthy and out there for the first time this season. Because like Nick was just talking about, there's so much on this season, and those games are starting to go by now, and the standings are starting to come together. Before you know it, if they keep playing like this, they're going to be behind in those standings, fighting for maybe even the playoffs by the end of the year. You don't want to be in that position when the contracts are going to start coming up and they want to start making a deal for that star who's going to complete the puzzle. You don't want to see what the Celtics are building right now pass them by, and we're getting really ahead of ourselves with that, but this is where it starts. They got to build a foundation for themselves so they can keep moving in the right direction. And right now they're hitting a little bit of a bump in the road, and whether it's injury related or not, it's still going to end the way it's going to end at the end of the day. And there won't really be any excuses at the end of that.
Absolutely. Detroit is just basically the opposite of the Celtics. They have an extremely talented front court. I was kind of shocked and surprised that, you know, we couldn't pull in Tobias Harris when he was up for free agency a couple of seasons ago. I really wanted him. He was a player that I wished Ainge would have targeted, you know, a lot harder, but we didn't get him. And now he's one of those guys that can, you know, play the 3-4 and really, you know, stretch the floor. In the meantime, he can rebound. He can do all those things really well. Definitely. So, and Andre Drummond, I mean, he's just a beast. He's a monster. They're going to out. I just can't see us even having any chance to compete on the glass. And if we stay within 10 rebounds, I'll be shocked. I think we can beat this team, but I wouldn't be surprised in the least if we lose, because this is just the way the Celtics are. I mean, I thought that, you know, we should have beaten the Pelicans, and we ended up losing to the Pelicans. And the reason, the big reason being, even though we did out-rebound the Pelicans, was the fact that we had no answer for Anthony Davis. Now, the Pistons have no Anthony Davis, but they do have a front court that absolutely needs to be reckoned with. We have the backcourt talent, I think, in Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas. It's just basically a competition between two mirror images. You know, one being a heavy front court team and one being heavy backcourt team. And hopefully the Celtics can win, because if we don't, we're falling below 500. We're falling behind the eight ball, and it's going to start being Tommy. It's still early in the season now, but we're 12 games in. It's, you know, we need to start winning these games, and the Pistons would be a winnable game, especially if we get one or both of Al Horford back or Jay Crowder. Now, if both Jay and Marcus Smart, if Marcus Smart isn't able to play and Jay Crowder is out, those are the two players that I think are really the grit, the grind, the hustle, the, you know, the grit and balls, as Kevin Garnett would say, of this team. And I've said it earlier in the season on previous postgame shows that we need to have at least one of those guys on the court to really provide that fire and that, you know, that grit. If they're both out, I think that's going to be a bad sign in terms of our you know, defensive pressure, in terms of, you know, that fire and that intensity. But it's a game that's up in the air. Every game this year with the Celtics, to me, until we get our full, you know, roster of player backs, our full rotation of players back, can be win or loss to me. I wouldn't be shocked if we won. I wouldn't be shocked if we lost. It's basically up in the air.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, you're right. Anytime you're missing two of your best four players, that being Crowder and Horford, you're going to struggle. And the injuries have taken a toll. And right now, the Celtics seem like a 50-50 shot every night. And that's not great. But again, it's something that's probably somewhat predictable. And again, remember, we got to almost to you know, the new year last year with the Celtics for a 500 team. Of course, there was probably a point a lot of people were pointing fingers at David Lee, but injuries certainly played a much bigger role this year. Let's get the injuries out of the way now, so that way, really, the Celtics are able to answer the real questions we had going into the season, which is, can they proceed in the playoffs and for the first time under Brad Stevens? I think that's what we're looking for. So anyway, I think that's going to do it for us for tonight. You know, really great show. Great job, you guys. Celtics lose to the Golden State Warriors 104-88. This postgame show will be available for on-demand listening by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as on the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Follow CLNS Radio on social media. That's at CLNS Radio on Twitter. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CLNSFans. Also, www.espnradionh.com, at ESPNNH on Twitter, and /ESPNNH on Facebook. You can also get a hold of my co-host tonight. Or get a hold of me, I should say, first, you know, because I'll let Bobby go soon. But for me, my Twitter handle, if you want to follow me on Twitter, that's at @CSL_Duke. If you want to follow my man Bobby Manning, and his words are a whole lot clearer on Twitter than unfortunately they've been tonight, thanks to internet, you can get him at @RealBobManning, and he's got good stuff on there. Definitely make sure you do that. Today's show is brought to you by Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/CLNS for 3 free meals and free shipping. Also, our friends at Movement, MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off your first purchase with free shipping, as well as audiblepodcast.com/try now for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Music was provided by Joshua Morse. Want to thank today's callers, who are none of you, everyone who tuned in. For CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, Program Director Justin Poulin. Hey, I know that guy. The founder of the network, Nick Gelso, my co-host Bob Manning. Don't forget Nick, who saved the day often for us, running the board. I'm John Duke. Everyone back here tomorrow night when the Celtics take on the Detroit Pistons. Have a good night, everybody.
Peace.